We're starting out the State Capitol report with transportation funding ideas. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Some Republican lawmakers are talking up toll roads to help the coffers. The discussion surfaced last week at the Wisconsin Counties Association. Wisconsin's entire transportation budget stands at $6.8 billion for this biennium, which includes funding that goes beyond just building and maintaining roads and bridges. What do you think Wisconsin's biggest transportation needs are? What do you think of a gas tax that would increase with inflation? And what are your thoughts about toll roads? We're at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Let's get an update from Sean Johnson now. He's WPR State Capitol Bureau Chief. Sean, thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
So last week we heard Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and other top Republicans indicating their support for toll roads, getting it out there. Has anything changed since then?
No, I think, you know, in the short term, nothing's going to change until Governor Tony Evers releases his budget on February 28th, or until he releases his road funding plan, which could potentially come out sooner. That's what everybody's waiting on at this point, because we have a governor in Wisconsin now for the first time in 8+ years who is more open to increasing some kind of revenue, a tax or a fee, to pay for roads. Governor Walker never was really willing to get to that conclusion. I mean, he would put you know, some conditions out there that he could support in order to increase a gas tax or gas, you know, or a vehicle registration fee, something like that. But the state never got there. So in the short term, we're waiting for that. In the long term, you know, over the last couple decades, nothing's really changed, especially on the tolling issue. It's something that gets talked about every now and then. Never happens. It's being talked about more now than it has in the past.
Yeah, so Speaker Voss and Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald have both expressed support for tolls in the past, but Governor Walker was against it. Voss has said that Walker's veto of toll roads was a mistake. Could these ideas gain any traction with a Democratic governor?
It's potential. So the veto that Voss is talking about there was for a $2.5 million tolling study. And at the time, I mean, I don't remember the legislature presenting that as this is tolling. What we're doing here is going to create tolling in Wisconsin. After the Walker veto, you heard legislators talking like that. Like, look, this would have been the gateway to tolling. This could have solved our problems. So, you know, I'm as far as what Tony Evers would do, he has kept the door open to tolling. Hasn't said that, you know, he's against it. When he runs through the list of options that he would be open to, it's one of the ones that he lists, but that's kind of been his position during the campaign. After the campaign, is we're looking at everything, we want something that everybody can support, and so that kind of leaves people guessing.
Well, Assembly Minority Leader Gordon Hintze has said he would prefer looking at other options like gas tax indexing. What is that?
Gas tax indexing is something that Wisconsin used to have until about 2006. And so what happened is the gas tax would go up automatically to keep up with inflation. It would occasionally go down a little bit to adjust to inflation, but that would the idea was that lawmakers wouldn't have to vote on this regularly. It would keep up with the cost of living. And that was popular for many years in Wisconsin among lawmakers anyway, because they got to fund roads. They didn't have to take that tough vote. When they took indexing away, lawmakers said at the time, look, now it's incumbent upon us to deal with these problems. We got to take these tough votes. And ever since then, they haven't taken any vote to increase the gas tax in Wisconsin. They have kind of they found a few smaller pots of money for road funding. But by and large, under the Walker administration, they relied on more borrowing to pay for roads. They scaled that back a little bit in the governor's last budget. But over his, you know, the length of his 8 years, I think you'd look at how did Wisconsin pay for roads? It borrowed more.
So Bruce emailed and said, if politicians don't think toll roads represent a tax increase, they're deceiving themselves. You know, do we know all of the ramifications that toll roads present?
I'm not sure we do. And part of that would have to come through that study, that $2.5 million study, which is, you know, my impression of that study is that it would be, here's how it worked, here's where they would go, here's how much you could charge. And so we don't know that information just yet. I mean, you can't just say a lot of people drive up here from Illinois, let's put some tolls down there. You actually can't just do that at a, you know, one state's border or something like that. So there would be a lot of ramifications, and yeah, it would be a lot of money coming out of drivers' pockets, definitely. You know, when Governor Walker used to talk about this issue, he'd say, like, I'd be open to tolling if we could have some kind of a corresponding tax decrease elsewhere in the budget. Well, how do you measure that? Because it's really hard to peg how much you'd get from that. And, you know, money that's coming from drivers on a freeway is it's not the same as, you know, money that you're going to pay in your income taxes.
You're with us for the State Capitol Report with WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson leading our way. Do you think a middle class tax cut is a good idea? Why or why not? How would you fund it? And what would you see offsetting it to make the budget balanced? Call in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Sean, Republicans haven't always agreed on transportation funding. It held up the budget in the past, but Vasa said that Republicans aren't going to fight about it anymore. How do you see Republicans coming to terms over transportation?
That is kind of new. I mean, in the past few budgets, really the last budget especially, Speaker Voss, a Republican, was very willing to mix it up with Republican Governor Scott Walker on road funding. Voss was aggressively arguing for some kind of a tax or fee increase to pay for roads. Walker, while he had these parameters where he could get there, was basically saying no to all of those ideas. And so they were very publicly arguing. Voss said last week his views on road funding have not changed, but he is not going to argue with Senate Republicans. In other words, you know, our common enemy, essentially, he's saying, is Governor Evers here, at least their political enemy, you know. And he's expressed an openness to working with the Evers administration on road funding. But they also said that Governor Evers has to make the first move here. So these are difficult issues, kind of, you know, nobody exactly wants to go out there and say, I want to increase taxes without presenting the other side of that and say, look, because we're going to fix these roads. So they're going to put that on Governor Evers. And I don't know whether the legislature will be able to support what Governor Evers comes up with, because especially in the Senate, Republicans have been unwilling, you know, at least four or five Republicans in the Senate have been unwilling to go there in the past.
Gretchen from La Crosse called in to ask, is revenue from the current gas tax still going into the state's general fund? And could we reallocate some of the money to fix certain roads?
I'm not sure where we stand on in terms of money that is going from the transportation fund into the general fund on an ongoing basis. So the general fund pays for things like schools, healthcare, prisons. I mean, it's sort of the state's general checkbook, you could think about it. It pays for most things. And then the transportation fund is set aside specifically to pay for transportation. Back in the Doyle administration, Doyle would use some money that was set aside for transportation to pay for general fund expenses. Walker flipped that around and then some, and has used far more money from the general fund to pay for roads. So I don't know where that is on an ongoing basis, and whether that's something that, you know, that could be switched under Governor Evers.
It is a State Capitol Report. On a Monday, we're talking with WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson about issues and legislation, gathering your thoughts along the way at 800-642-1234. Do you think a middle-class tax cut is a good idea? Should the government hold on to the money and use it for something else? If you do agree with a tax cut, how do you think it should be funded? And what are your thoughts on lawsuits over legislation passed during the lame duck session last year? Call in at 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. We'll get back to the State Capitol Report in a minute on the Ideas Network. Democrats and Republicans are angling toward a middle-class tax cut, but are taking different paths to get there. You're with us for the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Republican lawmakers on the Finance Committee advanced a $338 million plan that would reduce an average married couple's income taxes by about $300. And that plan heads to the assembly floor this week. Do you think a middle-class tax cut is a good idea? Should the government hold on to the money and use it for something else? We're at 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Sean Johnson is our guide. He is WPR State Capitol Bureau Chief. And Sean, before we talk about the middle class tax cut, let's bring in Vernon Boyd, who wants to get one more thing in on toll roads. Vern, hi.
Oh, hi. Yeah, I used to travel back and forth to Pennsylvania, and those roads were always under construction. But the thing is, the semis don't pay a wheel tax. They cause most of the damage. And now this, they keep increasing your registration fees and all your other fees, but the roads don't get any better, so the money's diverted all the time. And they need to learn how to build a road. They build roads. It's got to be salt-resistant roads in Wisconsin.
So Vern is talking, too, about the wheel tax here and that semis are doing the damage on these roads.
And, I mean, semis do pay higher vehicle registration fees than a car. But when you're talking about what damages roads, yeah, it is heavy trucks and it is weather. But heavy trucks especially do the most damage to roads. I mean, when you compare the amount of damage a heavy truck does to a road compared to a vehicle like, you know, we drove to work today, it's, you know, they're not even in the same ballpark. So it is a big issue when it comes to road damage. There was a heavy trucking fee floated by Assembly Republicans last session, and there was very strong pushback against that from you know, trucking groups, from businesses. And it was an idea that was floated for maybe less than a week, just given the pushback.
Let's go to Mike in Plainfield. Mike, hi.
Hey, when I first heard Voss and Fitzgerald running on about toll roads, I figured they'd pulled a file out from the Koch boys about privatizing highways. Is there any sense of that?
They didn't get into anything like that in the before the County Association meeting. I mean, I think when they made these remarks last week, it was really, really brief. I mean, they're basically saying this is something we're open to. They're not going out there and putting themselves on the record, like in favor of a 10-cent gas tax hike, for example. They're saying this is our suggestion. And where are you at, Governor? If this moves farther in the process, if we do end up learning more about tolling, and then we'll see where they're at.
Well, let's move on to another big issue, the GOP tax cut plan. We heard last week the legislature's budget committee voted to advance the proposal to the assembly, and that vote was along party lines with 10 Republicans in favor, 3 Democrats against. Where does that stand now? What's next?
It's going to go before the full state assembly this week. And what happened is that Assembly Republicans passed the Republican version of their plan. Basically, they didn't accept a Democratic amendment that was offered last week. And Assembly Republicans are saying their plan does kind of mirror what the governor talked about on the campaign trail in terms of who it would go to. So for the Assembly Republican plan, you're looking at cutting income taxes on individuals who earn up to $127,000, families who earn up to $155,000, just similar to what the governor talked about in the campaign trail. The big difference between their plan and Governor Evers' plan is that their plan relies upon money that is just in the state's general fund now. So there's a balance in the state's general fund. It would use that to start with to pay for the tax cut. In ongoing budgets, legislatures, future legislatures and governors would just have to find ways to pay for that tax cut in the general fund. Evers' plan would do some of that too. But it would also scale back a tax credit for manufacturers to pay for part of his tax cut. I mean, I think that's the biggest difference between the two.
And that's been the biggest rub with Republicans.
Yeah, I mean, Republicans are saying that Evers' plan is a non-starter for them. They say that if you're going to rely on increasing one tax to cut another, that's not a real tax cut, and they're not going to support it. I mean, they're speaking in kind of ultimatums. This is not going to pass the legislature. Governor Evers last week said the Republican plan is he can't see himself signing a plan that doesn't pay for itself. So they've both kind of dug in, and they're both talking about a tax cut. It's for similar groups of taxpayers. They're both saying it's a priority. It's early in the session, so in a way, you think this is going to happen.
There's time. Is there time for compromise? Do you see Republicans and Democrats reaching some sort of compromise here because they're both dug in?
Yeah, that's the thing. They are so dug in that I could imagine it happening either way this session. One, you know, they could see them saying eventually, here's one that we can all agree on. But I can also see them saying, you didn't budge on your most important thing, and we're not going to budge on ours. And so we'll have no income tax cut for, you know, this group of people.
Last week, five Wisconsin unions filed suit against lame duck session legislation that limits the powers of the sitting governor. This is the third lawsuit against the legislation. So can you update us on these lame duck lawsuits?
We have, you know, as you mentioned, three. There are two in state court now, one in federal court. The federal court one is the one that is, I guess, most specific to a particular law that was passed in the special session, the extraordinary session, excuse me, that would, Republicans passed new restrictions on early voting in Wisconsin. And so in a case, a federal case from 2016, where Judge James Peterson struck down Republican-authored restrictions on early voting, those same plaintiffs just went back to the judge and said, look, they violated your court order to not do that. The judge said, I agree. And so he blocked the new restrictions on early voting. So that one's all pending before the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals in Chicago. But that's where that stands right now, is that those new restrictions on early voting have been blocked in federal court. The two state cases are distinctly different. The one that was filed last week is on the merits of the laws that were passed. The one that was filed earlier is strictly on the process of how they were passed. So the one last week is saying that this is a separation of powers issue, that Republicans gave the legislature too much veto power over the incoming executives, Governor Tony Evers, Attorney General Josh Call, that they took away powers that have historically been granted to executives, like the ability to decide when to get into and out of lawsuits, like Wisconsin's lawsuit against the Affordable Care Act. These unions, these plaintiffs are saying this disrupted the balance in state government, giving legislatures so much veto power over administrative rules is going to grind government to a halt. And judge, we want you to stop this. The other one that I mentioned, the process one, is the League of Women Voters and some other groups who are saying the legislature can't do this stuff in extraordinary session, that there's nothing in the state constitution that calls for an extraordinary session, which is a session called for by legislative leaders. And so the whole thing was unlawful and needs to be tossed out.
And where is that in the process?
Those are basically just getting started.
Okay.
I mean, we haven't had, I mean, there have been some, I think, telephone hearings. There's been a lot of, you know, paperwork exchanged at this point, but there have been no oral arguments in either of those state cases. They're both just getting going.
So where are we at on Wisconsin's participation in the multi-state lawsuit against the Affordable Care Act? Because last week, the legislature's budget committee indicated it didn't plan on withdrawing from the suit, which Governor Evers campaigned on doing.
Right. Wisconsin is still in that lawsuit. We know now that Attorney General Josh Call has asked the legislature's budget committee, formally said, I would like your permission, essentially, to get out of this case. Under one of these laws that they passed in the lame duck session, they need the legislature's Joint Finance Committee to agree to that. It can no longer be a decision between an attorney general and a governor. It's now between an attorney general and the Joint Finance Committee. And there's just hasn't been a vote yet. But we did hear from John Nygren, the co-chair of the Budget Committee, who said that nothing's fundamentally changed, that they still need to talk it over with their caucuses. So Senate Republicans, Assembly Republicans want to talk it over in private. But Nygren said nothing's fundamentally changed here. I mean, they're opposed to the Affordable Care Act, and they supported the lawsuit in the past.
Historically, in your reporting, Sean, have you followed so many lawsuits at once?
Oh, yeah. After Act 10 passed, there were quite a few lawsuits, and there were quite a few laws that were passed back in 2011 when Republicans came in control. They passed voter ID, Act 10. We spent a lot of time over at the Dane County courthouse back then.
Do you see any parallels there with that time in 2011 as what's going on now?
Sort of. You got a new administration, and the difference is those lawsuits were born out of a new administration doing a lot of things quickly. Mm-hmm. And this one, these are born out of a new administration not being able to move as quickly as governors have historically been able to move.
Very quickly, what are you watching for this week?
We've got the assembly coming in this week. I think, spoiler alert, they're probably going to pass the tax cut that they want. But I'd just be watching for hints from Governor Evers' administration, too, as they prepare their budget. You know, you're going to see more and more information come out about what they want to see in their spending plan for the next 2 years.
Thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Sean Johnson is WPR's State Capitol Bureau Chief. Up next, it's news. Then we preview Superior Days, a lobbying effort for issues affecting the northwestern part of our state. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're with us for The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. Talking about Superior Days on the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's a tradition in its 34th year, the longest running grassroots lobbying event here in Wisconsin. 3 days of advocating for issues that are impacting life in Northwest Wisconsin, and more than 150 delegates have descended on the state capitol for Superior Days, coordinated by UW Extension. Do you live in northern Wisconsin? And if so, what issue would you like to bring to the attention of state lawmakers? Do you think state lawmakers are in touch with the needs of places like Bayfield and Douglas counties? We have a couple guests with us. Mark Abels Allison is the Bayfield County Administrator. Mark, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Thank you very much.
And James Anderson is Superior Days Coordinator. He's also a Community Natural Resources and Economic Development Educator for UW Extension Douglas County. James, welcome to you.
Good morning, Kate.
Well, let's start with you, James. Give us a sense as to what Superior Days is all about.
Superior Days is all about bringing down the issues that are important to the citizens of Northwest Wisconsin. We're a partnership of primarily Douglas and Bayfield County, City of Ashland, and then we have youth across all four Lake Superior counties, Bayfield, Ashland, Douglas, and Iron counties. We start in October, November, where it's a community-based issues identification process. We identify issues that are appropriate for the legislature, and then we also take a look at issues that can be addressed through agency policy. So over the next 2 days, we'll have a number of meetings with different agencies in the executive branch, and Tuesday afternoon, our 155 delegates will visit every legislative office. Every senator, every assembly person will get a visit from one of our lobbying teams.
How did this event come about in the first place? It's been decades. It's been going on. It's quite a tradition.
The first one in the mid-1980s started off as really the Twin Ports, Superior, Douglas County. The United States was in the midst of a recession. The Twin Ports was recovering much more slowly in the mid-80s than the rest of the area. UW Extension at that time did an economic needs assessment for Douglas County. And one of the things that came out of that was the need to engage Madison and more on a policy level. And one has to go back in their mind to the mid-80s. If they're my age or older, we didn't have the internet then. As soon as you called out of your city or your county, it was a long-distance phone call. It was a two-lane road between Superior and Madison. So that 4-hour and 15-minute drive was then probably 6 or 7 hours of mostly two-lane road. It was a much different climate. We were much further apart from Madison. But that tradition and need to engage the legislature and the executive branch on an annual basis and communicate those needs hasn't gone away.
Mark, what do you see the impact of this exposure at the Capitol? How do you see it resonating with lawmakers?
Yeah, great question. Just to add on a little bit to what James was talking about is there are certain characteristics in our area that we stress every year. Our population obviously is rural. We have nearly 5,000 square miles of land and roughly 80,000 people. So our per person per mile is very low, but we also have some other characteristics such as a lower household income, higher poverty rates, and a generally higher unemployment rate. And so when we go down, our goal is to encourage policies and practices, new initiatives, new legislation that impacts those figures, that improves the lives for our residents.
Mark, outside of Superior Days, how often do officials like yourself from Northern Wisconsin get together with leaders in Madison to talk about these issues affecting your part of the state?
In short, not often enough. I know in Bayfield County, most of our department heads, many of our board members make it down once, twice, maybe three times a year. But just the sheer distance, 300 miles, sometimes weather, like today, it looks like I've been watching the weather forecast, and we're going to hopefully slip in today, maybe a little bit of extra snow tomorrow, and then hopefully make it home on Wednesday night before we get too much. But the sheer distance and the logistics makes it more difficult, which impacts our ability to talk with legislators. So one of the really unique things about Superior Days is it's not just one person talking. It's not just one county or one city talking, but it's a cooperative effort that, as James said, begins actually in September, October. So over the past 6 months, we've sat down and we've talked about issues. We've highlighted three key legislative topics and about 10 agency issues that there's consensus on. One of the key factors, one of the key criteria that Superior Day stresses is consensus. We want to go down as a unified group. And so any issue that's brought up at Superior Days, legislators know that those issues have been discussed, they've been researched and analyzed, and our region as a whole is comfortable and believes that this is an important issue for Northwest Wisconsin.
We're talking about an annual lobbying effort at the state capitol called Superior Days. James Anderson is the Superior Days coordinator. He's also with UW Extension Douglas County. And Mark Abels Allison is with us. He's the Bayfield County Administrator. What do you want to know about Superior Days? What issues that are front and center in Northern Wisconsin do you want to make pressing for lawmakers at the state capitol? Have you been involved into the lead up to Superior Days? Call in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. James, we'll get into some of these issues in just a moment, but Mark talked about the three legislative topics. What is on the agenda in the coming days?
Okay. Legislative, we'll be talking about three issues. Number one on that list is Medicaid. Wisconsin has one of the lowest Medicaid reimbursement rates in the state. That poses access issues for Northwestern Wisconsin. Much of our medical services come from Minnesota. Minnesota is one of the highest reimbursement rates. At times, we can be around 40-45% of what Minnesota is reimbursing. And a lot of times, our citizens can't even find service providers in Northwestern Wisconsin. It's particularly challenging right now with the opioid crisis and AODA treatment. Also in their Medicaid, we'll be talking about nursing homes. Nursing homes in the state of Wisconsin, a Medicaid patient loses, I think, about $68 a day. So there's a financial crisis there, especially in an aging rural area. And the third issue is support for the UW system budget request that will provide about $2.68 million more for UW-Superior, our smallest four-year campus on the UW system. As you're probably aware and remember, two budget cycles ago, the UW system took, what was it, a $250 million cut, which reestablished a baseline for the system. Certainly not recovering from that, but will help to make the UW-Superior campus more competitive, especially in retaining and attracting faculty and staff.
Well, let's go back to the issue of funding substance abuse treatment being part of the Medicaid funding for youth and adults. And this is connected to the state's opioid crisis. James, can you talk about how the opioid crisis has impacted Northern Wisconsin?
Yeah, I think it's impacted northern Wisconsin the same way it's impacted all 72 counties. And what we're starting to see in Douglas County a little bit is even the movement away from opioids back to methamphetamine a little bit. So where there's some targeted grants to help with treatment for opioid addiction, it's not available for methamphetamine. So it's really a drug problem, and that's a drug problem across all 72 counties. What makes it challenging for us is part of northwestern Wisconsin's rural. But we all struggle with access issues and treatment issues. We have no inpatient care in our region. They need to come down, I believe Eau Claire is the closest location in the state of Wisconsin. Minnesota typically will not take a Wisconsin patient because that Medicaid reimbursement level is so low. So when a person's ready to accept and access treatment, it becomes a challenge being able to find those services in northwestern Wisconsin because those rates are so low.
So second on the wish list is a local option for a sales tax to fund roads in Douglas and Bayfield counties. Mark, can you speak to this as Bayfield County Administrator? Can you tell us about this request?
Yeah, I'll give you a little bit of background. On an annual basis, our county does a budget survey, and we solicit input from both board members and the public. And over the past 5 years, the number one priority that citizens and board members designate in Bayfield County is road maintenance and road repair. Because of that, the county has dedicated supplemental funds from our forestry department, forest sales, and allocated those specifically for highways. Now, with our reserves declining, we're finding it more and more difficult to allocate those funds. Bayfield County has 180 miles of road. We should be doing about 9 miles a year. We've set an ambitious goal of 6 miles a year, and we've reached that. We've attained that over the past 5 years. We are very concerned, however, about the future. A modified formula that provides additional dollars to counties to maintain our infrastructure is critical. The proposed 0.5% sales tax would be a local option referendum that would provide dollars both to counties as well as to municipalities.
How much money could that sales tax generate?
In Bayfield County, we currently have a 0.5% sales tax, and it generates about $1.1 million. That's about 10% of the, a little over 10% of the Bayfield County levy right now. So the extra 0.5% for Bayfield County, if those funds are split half between the county and half between the municipalities, would be about $550,000, and that roughly does a little bit over 2 miles of county highway road reconstruction.
We're talking about Superior Day's annual lobbying event, talking with two guests on the State Capitol Report, Mark Abels Allison, Bayfield County Administrator. James Anderson is here, Superior Day's coordinator. You as well at 800-642-1234. Stay with us for more State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network. We're talking about Superior Days on the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. More than 150 delegates are descending on the State Capitol in the first half of this week for an annual lobbying effort. And we're hearing from two members of the traveling delegation about the agenda, their legislative wish list, and the biggest issues facing the northern part of the state. Have you been to Superior Days? Do you see a disconnect over issues between northern and southern Wisconsin? And what do you want to convey through this lobbying effort? We're at 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Mark Abels Allison is the Bayfield County Administrator, and James Anderson is here as well. He's the Superior Days Coordinator. He's also with UW Extension Douglas County. Matt emailed and said, I'm against CAFOs, that's concentrated animal feeding operations in the Lake Superior Basin. Where do we stand there with lobbying efforts? James, do you want to field that?
I'll start. In the 5 years that I've been engaged in Superior Days and with Extension, this hasn't been a state issue, but I know both Douglas County and Bayfield County have addressed CAFOs in their zoning and farmland preservation plans and how they would handle and zone CAFOs. In terms of Douglas County, our agriculture educator through Extension worked extensively with the county on that, and I think Mark Abels Allison will have some comments. When I first came into the community, Bayfield had someone looking at a CAFO potentially in Bayfield.
Mark, do you want to jump in here?
Sure. One of the topics this year, one of the agency issues that's being addressed with the Department of Natural Resources is regarding safe water. And the stress, the key topic is that one size does not fit all, that there are unique characteristics in different areas of the state, whether it's karst regions with very permeable soils, or it is different soil types around lakes. When Act 55 was adopted, Act 55 addresses lakeshore setbacks. We used to have NR 115, which allowed for counties to establish through planning efforts and lake classifications. It allowed counties to say, hey, this lake is different because of this and this and this, and for this reason, we're going to have this standard. That's no longer allowed. And so one of the topics that we're going to discuss with the DNR is the importance of considering unique topographical or hydrologic factors so that we can cite different types of enterprises appropriately.
One issue we've talked about on the morning show in the past is increasing broadband internet access in the north. And James, is that something that will be addressed at Superior Days?
Yes, I'll be meeting with Angie Dickison from the state broadband office. She'll be doing actually a workshop Tuesday morning for our delegates that are interested in the topic. And we've asked her to come in and talk about telecommuter forward. Bayfield County was recently designated, I believe, the first county in the state of Wisconsin for telecommuter forward. So she's going to talk to us about that program, as well as hopefully preview a spring round of broadband expansion grants. And then following her workshop, we're going to do a short agency meeting with the PSC broadband office and just discuss some concerns about how they operate the grant program, the scoring of that, and the evaluation of those grants.
Mark, you represent Bayfield County. Are there any issues unique to your part of the state that you're hoping to speak to and leave a lasting impression?
Yes, I have one specific topic, and that is Northern Wisconsin has supports the state of Wisconsin with county forest lands. Northern Wisconsin, specifically our four counties, have over 600,000 acres that we've set aside and we've dedicated to forestry. That means that local units of government don't receive tax money for those. A normal 1,000-acre parcel of land would get about, with an average mill levy of 17 mills, would get about $17. Right now, the state of Wisconsin supports towns with county forest, and they make a payment of 30 cents an acre. This amount was last set in 1989, so we're right at the 30-year mark. So for the past several years, we've been advocating for an increase in that amount from 30 cents to $2 an acre. Senator Bewley's district, Senator Tiffany's district are two districts with, over 60% of the 2.4 million acres of county forest in the state of Wisconsin. These lands support the forest products manufacturing that Wisconsin is known for. We need to make sure that our local units of government are still getting enough resources to provide basic services, roads, elections, emergency medical services. So that's one of the topics that we are bringing to the DNR, and we will be sharing with them.
James, let's circle back to education, something you briefly touched on at the beginning. UW-Superior is seeking more than $2.5 million increase in its operating budget. Why is this budget increase being sought?
Again, it's partially it's just to recover from that baseline cut two budget cycles ago, where the entire UW system took the $250 million cut across the board, which impacted all of the campuses as well as extension. The areas that UW-Superior is talking about focusing on with that additional $2.68 million is faculty and staff. I believe there's a 3+3 pay raise system-wide proposed in that budget. UW-Superior struggles with retaining and attracting faculty and staff to its campus, not necessarily against other areas in Wisconsin, but in the Twin Ports region. The Duluth area has University of Minnesota Duluth, Saint Scholastica, and another institution, and oftentimes they'll lose individuals over to the Duluth market. So attraction and retention of talent, as well as funding for local programs, the Lake Superior Research Institute, and some other outreach and educational programming and partnerships. UW-Superior has been really engaged in community-based learning, providing real-life learning opportunities for the youth, for their students at the UW campus, and these funds will help to expand and grow those academic programs.
Let's bring in a call now. Bill joins us from River Falls. Hi, Bill. What's on your mind?
Good morning. Yeah, I'm calling down from the cities, but I would just like to ask your guest today about their lobbying effort, and it appears to me on the comments they've made you're running into a national political agenda of small government, reduced taxes. Wisconsin did not participate in the Medicare expansion. You mentioned that you would probably benefit from that, the lack of funding at the university level, and recently the gentleman mentioned the issues around forestry and service. These are all items that the Madison Republicans are giving back to the national Republicans in the name of small government. I mean, is there any discussion around the fact that the region doesn't really vote for its interests?
James, do you want to field that?
There was a lot there. I'm not sure where to start. I guess I'll start
with national political headwinds and, you know, kind of eating into your agenda.
Well, certainly both parties have strategies and tactics and values that reinforce the policy that they set forth. Superior Days is not a partisan activity, and we deliberately come down to build bridges with both sides of the aisle. The United States is still primarily a two-party system, and we don't advocate for one party over the other. We talk about the issues. And in terms of Medicaid, I think one of the common misconceptions is that Wisconsin did turn down those Medicaid funds, but that would have potentially expanded the pool of eligibility. That wouldn't have fixed the reimbursement rates. So we're very focused on that. How the legislature funds that is up to them. We're not coming with proposals for how they fund that, but we're talking about the disadvantage that our citizens are at for access issues because of those low rates.
James, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
James Anderson is the Superior Days coordinator. He's also a community, natural resources, and economic development educator for UW Extension Douglas County. And Mark, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Mark Abels Allison is the Bayfield County Administrator. We've been talking about this multi-day lobbying effort that gets underway today at the state capitol. Superior Days is organized by UW Extension. And for disclosure, Wisconsin Public Radio is part of UW Extension. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.